good evening and welcome to this special service. I'm Brad Brandt. It's a joy to serve as pastor here at Wheelersburg Baptist since 1987. So God's an incredible God, doing some amazing things in this southern Ohio tri-state region, and we're going to celebrate that tonight. We're going to think about how he's working to make himself known. I think about 2 Corinthians 2, but thanks be to God who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. And he's sovereign, he's gracious, he's making himself known in the world, and he's doing it beyond the four walls of the place that we happen to worship. And so tonight we get to hear about what he's doing places beyond where we serve him. And the Ohio Association of Regular Baptist Churches is an association of churches that's dear to us who are here. Wheelersburg Baptist came into existence in 1878. I was a part of the Northern Baptist Convention, which began to drift theologically. And so, long story short, in the 1940s, became a part of the General Association of Regular Baptist Churches, the Ohio Association of Regular Baptist Churches. Just a piece of history, the national rep that was influential in the starting of the GRB, Robert Ketchum's brother, was the pastor of this church, Wheelersburg Baptist, in the 1920s. So we thank God for this association, and we thank God for what's going to happen tonight. I'd like to welcome Chuck Posley as the state representative of the ORBC. He's going to say a few words of welcome and tell us a little bit about our association, lead us in prayer, and then I'll come back up and kind of explain what's going to happen this evening. So welcome, Chuck. Thanks. So glad you're here. Appreciate it, Pastor.
It is great to be with you tonight. We were giving out a travel trophy. I think I probably won that tonight. I was this morning in a church up in Streetsboro, Ohio, and so I've been on the road most of the afternoon, but we're very thrilled to be here. I'm thankful for this fellowship of churches. I'm thankful for the OARBC. The OARBC began in 1928, so we're celebrating 94 years of ministry together. And just very thankful for our pastors and wives, thankful for our people and our churches. God is really good to us. We have 135 churches throughout the state. So if you begin up in Cleveland, you come down to Portsmouth or Wheelersburg, or if you go from Greenville to Byesville, you will find our churches throughout the state. One thing that's good about us, and I say this sincerely, is that we stay true to the Word of God as a fellowship. That's our hallmark, the love of the Word of God. We are desiring to grow. We're desiring to plant new churches. We're desiring to see God glorified. It's great to be able to be in the church this morning, seeing people getting saved, and that's very encouraging to see God at work through His Word to see people come to Christ. I do want to remind you that coming up in the month of October is our annual meeting, October 16 or 17, 18, and 19. This year it's going to be in Toledo at Emmanuel Baptist Church. It's a tri-conference. We have three fellowships that are coming: Indiana, Michigan, and Ohio. Always proves to be a wonderful time. I mention it because it's not just for pastors and wives. It's not just for missionaries, but it's open to all of our people in our churches. So I'd like to invite you to come. You'll receive a blessing as you hear the good word being spoken by mature pastors who love the Lord, and also to be able to fellowship together. I would invite you to come along for this time. Great to be with you tonight, and looking forward to being able to talk with you afterwards and being able to fellowship with you. Let's open in a word of prayer. Father, you are so good to us. We are so unworthy. You have blessed us, and you continue to bless us continually. Oh, how we thank you. Thank you that you're ever faithful to what you've told us in your word. You're faithful to that. Thank you for sending Jesus Christ to be our personal Savior. Thank you for the hope we have because of him. And I want to thank you, Father, tonight for this group of churches, part of the Ohio Association of Regular Baptists. Thank you for these men. Thank you for these women. Thank you for these faithful pastors and pastors' wives. I thank you for all the ministries that are a part of this area of fellowship. And we just pray that in everything that we do, even tonight, that you will be glorified. To you be the glory. And I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, here's what's going to happen, Lord willing, tonight. We want to celebrate what God's doing in the area, and this is what will happen. You'll have the opportunity to participate with some singing praises of our worthy God here in a moment. During that time of singing, if you're going to be sharing a testimony, and there are several of you that are, if you just come and make your way up front while we're singing, so you'll be right up here, because when we put this together, we thought it'd be wonderful. We know what God's doing in our local churches, but what's he doing beyond that in this area? So we've asked several to share 2 or 3 minute little testimonies of what is God doing in ministries that he's raised up in the area. Cradle will be represented. Mandy Arthur, the director, is not feeling well, so representing her is Dee Dee Travis. Then Scioto Hills Camp, Scott Bruns. Scioto Christian Youth Athletics, Gary Chafin will be giving a word. Mount Hope Bible Camp, Director Brett Wilson is here and will be sharing. Our Wheelersburg Baptist Biblical Counseling Ministry, Dave Beam, the director of that. And then representing Temple Time and Temple Tots, Pastor John Gowdy. After that, then Rex Howe, who's the president of Tri-State Bible College, will be coming and sharing with us about Tri-State, as well as giving a challenge from the Word of God. And then we'll sing and pray and eat some dessert and continue to fellowship. So that's kind of what's happening this evening. Dave Beam, come and lead us. And Joe will sing praises to the Lord. And just those who are sharing, you have the schedule. Just come right on up as we're singing so you're ready. And then one at a time, come on up. So. Thank you.
Well, it is truly a blessing to be here with people that will be able to take a hymnal and know what these hymns are. Joe and I worked together to pick out some familiar ones. So if you've been hoping in your church to sing some familiar hymns, that's what we've decided to do tonight. So if you would grab a hymnal and turn to 542, When We All Get to Heaven, we want to start to rejoice. We're going to begin with the end in mind. This is where we're headed together as God's people. 542.
Yeah.
redeemed.
Hello, my name's Dee Dee, and I am a volunteer at Cradle Pregnancy Care Center in Portsmouth. We are a nonprofit, Christ-based ministry. We provide baby and toddler items, biblical counseling, parental education, and, of course, the gospel. God has blessed us with lots of donors, supporting churches, volunteers, and, of course, the clients. I have to say that when I go into a room, when somebody comes to participate in our services, I pray that the Lord will give me the words to say, and I definitely have been praying that for today as well. Really, God has blessed us beyond what I've seen in a long time. He's always been very good to us, and he's been especially good to us in the crisis that has been COVID. We may not have had a lot of ability to do the traditional counseling that we would do, that girls could come in. We did over the phone kind of things with them to try to still help them in that time of need. But he has blessed us so much with just churches just pouring out their just giving us things and praying for us, and you know, everybody has just been so supportive. We've had volunteers. Just everyone has been great, and God has blessed us so much, also giving us the ability to provide what the clients will need when they come in. And I was just going to give a tiny little example of what might happen, like what kind of situation we would have. Just somebody coming in maybe has lost their employment, or they just have been through a terrible time, and like Christmas will be coming up, or they'll have a particular need, like we need this size of clothing or this size of diaper. And it never fails that next day somebody will come in and donate that particular item that was needed. We've had God just blesses us, you know, more than we ever could deserve. But we did have somebody come in with that situation, and we were able to bless them with the items that were donated. And it's always usually what we ask, you know, for. So basically, we have had several girls get saved and their family members. I'm sorry, I don't have the exact number because I'm a fill-in. So Mandy probably has that number for you, but I don't have it today. But we really, the people that come in, it's our opportunity in order to give the gospel to people. We give them lots of toddler and baby items, and that gives our opportunity to present the gospel to them. So not only do they hear the gospel, but possibly somebody that brought them hears the gospel. Their mom or boyfriend, husband. There's a lot of different people that can possibly hear the gospel, but we don't know what you know happens with that. We just know that God promises that will not return void. So we are definitely blessed as a ministry, and continue to pray for us. Thank you.
Job, Dee Dee. Want you to know I wore my work clothes tonight, just so you know. So how is Lord working in our ministry for his glory in 2 to 3 minutes? Ha! Right, how's that work? 58 years of ministry, Saddle Hills Christian Camp and Retreat Center. Pam and I have been privileged to be part of the team since 2006. And we have been privileged to see the Lord use our setting for his glory. And I want you to understand that we just say this, camp works. It doesn't matter if it's a tent in your backyard or if it's one of the big boys that costs thousands of dollars to go to or any other camp in between. Getting away from our popular culture to get in God's creation for an extended time, to get away from their routine, to deal with the big issues of life, works. Camp works. It's still working. And 58 years later, it's still working. People, their lives have been changed. We talk about it being designed for life change. And that happened again this summer. We're thankful for 22 students that made decisions to trust Christ. We're always a little nervous about some of those when they're younger to make sure that it's truly transformation work of the Holy Spirit. But one high school student that came was walking around with his hat down, his shoulders slumped, wasn't talking to anybody. On Thursday night, he came to faith in Christ, and he was already a different person because of the freedom that he found in the gospel and what Christ had done for him. So it just continues to take place here in the camp setting. I just want to ask you this question. So how many of you have made a significant life decision in a camp setting? Raise your hand. About a little less than half. I've gone to pastors' conference. I've been to Chuck. I've been to our state fellowship. 220 pastors and wives, and almost every hand goes up. So my question is, why in the world, if 70 to 80% of all people in full-time Christian ministry have made a significant decision in a camp setting, why wouldn't that be what a parent would want or a church would want to support if the Lord could use the camp setting to change their life and see them even move into full-time ministry, right? So we're privileged to be a part of that, and we just see that on a regular basis. So we're thankful for what the Lord is doing. He's blessed us over these last several years. Got this little Rona thing going on. It changed some of the stuff, but the Lord was faithful to us, and we just saw His hand. We go to that word hesed. God's steadfast love, where He continues to be loyal to us based on His promises to be faithful to us. And we can just shout praises to the Lord, that God be the glory for the things He has done in our setting and for the things He continues to do. Love to talk to you afterwards. Thank you.
I was sitting there just thinking, I should have prepared something to say exactly what I'm going to say, but I didn't do that too much. They did a great job. I'm so thankful for everyone gathering in tonight, and Pastor Brad and the church for hosting this for us. Tonight, I'm not here to represent our church necessarily, but I'm here to represent a sports program that I get to be a part of, Soda Christian Youth Athletics. It's not a ministry connected to our church in many ways, but yet it also is a great expression of who we are as a church. As we have families seeking to swim in a certain direction. We started this really for two purposes. One, serving as a pastor. Some of you may know this feeling, but Sunday morning you look out and see several families gone on any given Sunday, and you realize that they're out for travel ball and things like that and sports events. So as a pastor, that was just disheartening to me to experience that on a regular basis. And then as a father, I want my kids to be able to participate in sports in a meaningful way and have great experiences. And so I met with some friends, and we talked, can we develop something that kind of works as a hybrid for churches and families? So we developed Soda Christian Youth Athletics. We have programming right now up to the eighth grade. Our plan is to go through high school, so kindergarten through high school. We operate in the realm of basketball, soccer, cross country. Indoor soccer is part of that as well. We rent the camp to utilize for that. But this year, between at the end of 2021, when we started in the summer of 2021, to now we have about 100 different kids represented in the program. And what we have learned is that there are many families who are wrestling through these issues. They're wrestling through how do we balance our life without selling our soul basically to public sports programs. And so it's just been exciting to see that we're providing opportunities for families who are seeking to swim in a certain direction, seeking to make fellowship with other believers. We have a great team around us. Audrey is one of our board members. Pastor Rob McKinney, who was not able to be here tonight, he's on our board, but many other people are serving and helping us. So if you want to learn more about us, we have a website, sodachristian.com. Sodachristian.com is the website you can go to learn more about our programming. We would love to try to make it work for your family. We're always looking for volunteers to help us make this dream work for the program. So if you're interested in learning more, feel free to see me after the service. I'd be happy to share that with you guys. Thanks for letting me share that this evening.
Well, good evening, and thank you so much for the invite to share about the ministry of Malheur Bible Camp. My name is Brett Wilson. My wife, Sarah, is with me. And together we serve as camp missionaries with an organization called SCORE International, but in Otway, Ohio, in just the other corner of the county, at a little camp called Malheur Bible Camp. We have existed since 73, so we are getting ready to celebrate upcoming our 50th year of ministry. And can I just tell you, last summer was just incredible for us. We had about 480-some kids join us for our 6 weeks of summer camp, and we serve kids from 6 to 18. I kind of like what Scott was sharing. You know, sometimes you present the gospel and you hope that it just takes root. But we had 61 kids this summer that professed a first-time decision for Jesus. And so I just celebrate God's faithfulness in using His Word to do what it's intended to do, and that is to speak to the hearts of our kids. One of the things that Malheur Bible Camp is very passionate about, and I'm passionate about, is letting God's Word do its thing. And our programming and our schedule does just that. Our slogan may be a bit cheesy, but it's true. Malheur Bible Camp, where the Bible is our middle name. That's our focus. And we are true to that statement. And we just pray and trust that God will continue to allow us to do that for years to come. Not only just in the evangelism kind of focus or setting, we also are really focused on discipleship as well. It's kind of, I think, what somewhat makes us a little bit unique in the fact that we try to take from our camper base, we try to provide opportunities to continue to disciple those kids throughout the year. We're doing that currently with like a discipleship group, like a small group setting. And currently, we are continuing ongoing discipleship with some of our staff members. And currently, right now, we have some of those. One of those is in a Bible school up in Wisconsin, going into full-time missionary work. We have another staff member that is sold and convinced that she is going into medical missions. And so we're helping them navigate those next steps. Our prayer and our hope is that we will continue to disciple kids that will be life changers for the gospel and be able to kind of make that impact in the world around us. And so we, again, are thankful for the opportunity to share tonight. And if you have any questions, be more than happy to answer those afterwards. Thank you.
Well, hello again. I'm Dave Beam, my service deacon here, and also the director of the Biblical Counseling Training and Discipleship Ministry that we have here. In that role, I've not been that all along. I've just stepped into that role a few years ago. But at Wheelersburg Baptist Church, we have had training here every January, February, March for the last 22 years. And in that capacity, and at least 50 churches have been touched directly by their members or their pastors being here. Over 500 people have gone through this training. And as Pastor Brad and I reflect on this, we just tear up and think about the fact that this wasn't a strategic plan. God just brought this opportunity to us. And as you've seen, as God blesses something, it grows that way if He chooses to do that. And He's chosen to do that. We've also trained off-site, and we're going to get ready to do one this fall in Parkersburg, West Virginia. We've done several in Huntington, quite a number in Charleston, West Virginia, Chillicothe, Ohio, Taze Valley. And our pastor has been blessed and privileged to go to Albania, Romania, Beirut, Lebanon, and Lima, Peru to do this training as well. So in this little place of Wheelersburg, Ohio, in Scioto County, God decided to say, I want to use you all to minister to the body of Christ, specifically to pastors and to other members that are faced with this. You know people that marriages are struggling. They're falling apart. You know people that are anxious. I think we all know some anxious people these days that worry and are captured by it, that are afraid, that are angry and grief-stricken and stressed and depressed, that are addicted that have conflict and even a root of bitterness. Brothers and sisters, we're the body of Christ. Why would we send people away from the church when we have a sufficient word and a sufficient Christ and a sufficient Holy Spirit to do that work? I'll tell you why. It's because we don't feel like we know how. We're here for that purpose, to help the ministries in this region to have the confidence in the Word of God, to really come alongside and shepherd the Word of God, to disciple people in trouble, to evangelize the lost, and to edify the saved. I've had many people that have come to counseling that have been in secular settings, other settings, and they say, "This is so different. You're praying with me, not just a few words, but you're weeping with me. You're taking me into the Scriptures. You're taking me to the promises of God. And you're giving me a hope that I can be God's kind of person, even if the problem doesn't go away. Even if the problem doesn't go the way I would want it to go, I still have hope because I'm a child of God." That's what we do. We do the counseling here, but we also train others. If that strikes you tonight, if that touches you tonight, we would like for you to consider this January coming here and being trained. If you want to travel to Parkersburg, sounds like a nice place to visit. We're going to do 3 weekends there this fall. So I'm going to stop there, but if you have some questions afterwards while we're eating dessert, please come and talk to me. Thank you.
I think we've seen tonight that the differences and similarities of all our churches make for strength, right? It's something to be celebrated, the way that God uses each one individually, sort of like Paul's analogy of the body, the ear, the eye, and all the rest of that. So that's great. Pastor Brad mentioned a little bit of the history here in Southern Ohio. Our church began in 1850, and the very first GARBC national representative was Dr. H.O. Van Gelder, who resigned our pulpit and moved up there and became the first national rep. So we have some deep, deep roots. I also happen to think that all of the beauty in Ohio has settled down here in the southern part of the state, don't you? This is just a natural part of our beauty. So anyway, we appreciate all of these ministries. I was saved out of Soda Hills in October of 1968, so thank you for that ministry. We appreciate Mount Hope and all of the other things that you heard about. They asked me to just say a word about two different parts of our outreach. Looking out there, I think some of you remember the bicentennial year of 1976, right? The bicentennial year. Others probably no memory of that. Well, both Temple Tots and Temple Times started that very same year. Let me start with Temple Time first. Our former pastor, Max Sitters, had been on staff at Northside Baptist Church outside of Charlotte, North Carolina, Dr. Jack Hudson. They had a daily radio program there. So when he came as pastor, I believe he had the idea that maybe we could have a similar daily radio outreach. We like to say at Temple Baptist that we're radioactive. We have broadcast the Sunday morning service live since 1935, up to and including this morning, a live broadcast every single Sunday. And we used to do Sunday nights by a one-hour tape delay. I'm talking about reel-to-reel. They would record the service, then take the tape down to the radio station, and they would play the program an hour later. So they took a good look at that in the 70s and thought, probably not too many people are listening. Why don't we go to a daily format? And so they did, and they launched the ministry, and the goal was to never, ever make an appeal on air for money. So we want to have sponsors, and Krispy Kreme, the Renaissance, right across the street, gone now. We're the first. Stapleton Office Supply has single home supply. These businesses in our church, Sunday school classes, individuals, sponsor Temple Times. And so we are thankful to continue that ministry. This past April, I passed 11,000 Temple Times that I've done. So we've been on the air a long time with those daily radio programs. Not a preaching program. It's 10, 11 minutes of a devotional program. And it is a joy. It's one of the happy points of my particular personal life. I just love doing it and appreciate Temple Time. Temple Tots had our open house Friday night. Start 6 o'clock tomorrow morning. Full with a waiting list of 17. To God be the glory for that. It is a preschool, not a daycare. appreciate daycares, and there are people that do that for business or nonprofit. This is a preschool. It always has been. And so we are glad to start once again. We have had, for a number of years, second-generation Temple Tots, where the parents came and they sent their kids. We are now on the precipice of Generation 3, grandma, daughter, and now child of the same family, all Temple Tot alumni. So we're thankful, absolutely, for that. Not sure how I think about this as I close. We are viewed, I suppose, by the government as an essential service. So we have had an influx of boxes of toys and food and envelopes with checks in them from the state of Ohio with no strings attached and opportunities to expand the ministry. And it is a nonprofit ministry. But not that this makes any difference, but as I stand here tonight, their bank accounts total to six figures. And we're spending that constantly as well, plowing it back into the ministry. It is nonprofit. So just got two huge smart TVs, touchscreen TVs. Just the technology's incredible. So anyway, the bicentennial year of Temple Time and Temple Tots. We have a former director, Carolyn Snively, right there. We appreciate Carolyn and her sidekick, Pinky Copen, and several other folks that have been involved. We have some trustees here. So we appreciate that so much. And our kids went there too. So anyway, I want to throw this in for extra. Do you love your pastor, Brad Brandt? Yeah. I can't even say, God bless you.
Hello. It's good to be with you. My name is Rex Howe. I'm the president of Tri-State Bible College. I'm the sixth president of Tri-State and in my second year. Tri-State Bible College is the place where I got my degree. I graduated from Tri-State Bible College in 2006. Came to faith in Christ earlier in 2001. Radical conversion to the Lord radically changed my life when the gospel came into my heart, my mind, and renovated the darkness. And I was a chemistry pre-med major at Ohio University in Ironton. Any Bobcats with us right now? All right. I was there, and it was a great experience, but someone led me to the Lord at Ohio University, and they lost me because I started to love ministry and needed to know more. And my pastor said, well, why don't you go to Tri-State Bible College? I said, what is Tri-State Bible College? And so he said, well, you should give it a shot. So I did, and it changed my life. I was a student there, and I was the janitor there. And now I'm the president there. who attends Tri-State Bible College? Some people think, well, it's, you know, the school for pastors, right? Well, that's not true. High school students come to Tri-State Bible College to get a biblical worldview before they go off and do the amazing things that they're going to do. They may spend a year or two with us, and then they go on and become engineers or business people or doctors, nurses, whatever, or moms and dads. But they come to us, and they get a biblical worldview. Families attend Tri-State Bible College. We had a grandpa and a grandson come and take an apologetics class together last year. That's a great place to have a common thing to talk about between your family in your marriage or between you and your grandkids or your kids. It's just a wonderful experience for the family. Pastors, elders, deacons, and trustees do come to Tri-State Bible College to be better leaders in their church, to be more effective, and to be part of leading the body of Christ in the mission of God. We have Christians who are in the marketplace who are starting to come to Tri-State Bible College, people who have a practice in medicine are coming to learn more about the Bible and learn more about God so that they can share their faith more thoroughly when they're meeting with patients who have other needs. We have a doctor of botany coming to Tri-State Bible College this year. He works in a Huntington Museum, art museum, and he's coming to learn more about his faith and lead a Bible study in a Roman Catholic church. And so we have a lot of different people for lots of different reasons who come to the Bible College. And you can earn a certificate, an associate's degree, a bachelor's degree, or a master's degree at Tri-State Bible College, accredited by the Association for Biblical Higher Education. But you don't have to earn a degree to come to Tri-State Bible College. You can audit, which is the cheapest way to go. So if you just like, I just want to learn more, I'm not really interested in a degree, why don't you come audit with us and listen to the classes and the content and grow in your faith. There's something for everybody, and our mission is to offer access to believing biblical higher education. We want you to have access. So what can we do to help you grow and fulfill your ministry calling? That's why we exist. And we're so glad to be here in Southern Ohio. We have a heart for Appalachia. In Appalachia and beyond is something we think about and talk about a lot. We want to effectively equip and be a partner with God's church in the region, and then we want our people to stay and or go, whatever God is calling them to do. And if you have your Bibles with you, we're going to look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 is our text for this evening. Please come and visit and talk to us. All of us have tables out there. We would love to spend more time chatting with you and sharing information with you if you're interested in our ministries. I've been doing a personal study on the idea of holiness for some time now, this word holiness. And the reason is Romans 1:4, the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of holiness. And I have a particular interest in the Holy Spirit right now that I will not go into. But holiness, Spirit of holiness, what does that mean? What is that saying about the Holy Spirit? Where is that word used in the Bible? It's used here in 1 Thessalonians 3, verses 11 through 13. And it's used two other times in the New Testament, Romans 1:4 and in 2 Corinthians 6. And then it's used, I think, four or five times in the Psalms. That's the only place it's used in the Old Testament. So it's not used very often. And as I'm studying, I've come up with this personal description of what is meant by this holiness when it's used of God in the Psalms. I think it means His memorable majesty, the memorable majesty of the missional God. The Psalms say that God's name is memorable. His activity, you don't forget it. When you come into close, when you brush up against the activity of God, you do not forget it. You don't forget His name. His majesty is sublime. There's nothing that compares. It's supreme. And He's on a mission. He's calling men and women and boys and girls to know about His work in Jesus Christ. And as we look at, if we were to look at the 2 Corinthians passage, which we're not, and we look at this passage, we see that missional idea of the holiness of God. And I think Paul is, if I could sum up the passage, I think that Paul, he's praying here, and I think he's humbly expecting God to ready the Thessalonians for Christ's coming. He's expecting God to ready these believers for Christ's return. That's what he's doing. Now, I told you, when I was 19, I put my faith in Christ, and I was redeemed and set free from sin. And there was a lot of sin, y'all. And there was a lot of sin with regard to relationships. And so when Christ came into my life, I started to just really rethink how I approached friendships, how I approached dating. What on earth am I going to do when I get married because I don't know how to do this? Those sorts of thoughts came into my mind. And so I really had a burning desire to be ready for that. And so I didn't date for a long period of time because I was convinced that that was a bad idea for me, given my past. And so I read some things and studied because I want to be prepared. I want to be prepared as a man, as a leader, in my home. It's a big responsibility to get married and raise a family and all those things. So I just wanted to be prepared. Matter of fact, I told three men who were influential in my life, I said, I'm going to give you permission when I come to you and ask if I could go out on a date, I'm going to give you permission to tell me no. And if you say no, then I won't. That's how bad I was. And so I did, and one time they said no, and so I waited a while longer, and then I met Amy. at Scioto Hills Camp. And I came to them again, and they said, you know, we think so. We think you're ready. And when they said ready, they said, you could be ready to get married if that's where this goes. And that's the kind of readiness I was looking for. It's important to be ready, isn't it? It's important to be ready. The Thessalonians, Paul wanted them to be ready because they were going to meet Jesus someday. And all of us here in this room, this is contemporary. All of us in this room at some point will meet Jesus Christ. And we need to be ready. The town of Thessaloniki, it's an ancient town. They're right on the sea. So when an ancient town was on the seaport, that meant money, trade and commerce and culture, all those things. And not only was Thessaloniki on a seaport, but it was also on the Ignatian Way. There was a major east-west roadway that went all the way from the coast on the other side of Macedonia all the way to Istanbul, and so, modern-day Istanbul. And so they just had a great situation. And when Paul went there in Acts 17, it wasn't the best reception. He went to a Jewish synagogue and he preached the gospel in the Jewish synagogue. And some people believed and some people hated him. And he kind of got run out of town like he did sometimes. And that was kind of his experience. But if we were to read the whole letter and even the second letter, we would find Paul very commendable toward these believers, that they had a faith and a love and a hope that he was hearing about. And so I think as we come to this text, we learn that we have a need just like they did. The need is that we are blameless at Christ's coming. I mean, close your eyes and imagine for just a second the Lord Jesus coming in the clouds with a majesty that you cannot miss, coming to bring a kingdom and a new creation. And now consider, how do you want to appear before that one? I want to appear blameless, clean. I want my heart to be full of love and adoration. And I think that was what Paul is getting at here in this text. He wanted the Thessalonians to be blameless at Christ's coming. And so he is going to explain to them what it is that will lead to or result in this blamelessness. He describes it as an excellent, holy, missional love. An excellent, holy, missional love results in blamelessness. And so we look at verse 11, and the scriptures say, "Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you." The first thing we see is that Paul humbly expected God to direct or redirect his travels to the Thessalonians once again. I mean, he really wanted to be with them. He had spent just a little bit of time with them. His hope was that God would lead him back to this people, and that he would be able to spend time. The church is his joy and his crown, he says this, and his glory, his boast. And so he wanted nothing more than to be redirected to these people in whom he had worked and shared his faith and so forth. And we'll talk more about that in just a moment. But he was praying. You can notice the language here. It's expectant. It's hopeful. It hasn't happened yet. Now may our God himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you. He wanted to visit again. Verse 12, he has a second request. He says, "And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, as we do for you." So it's not just that he wants to be redirected back to them, to spend time with them, investing in them, discipling them. He wants the Lord to do something. So the subject of these verbs, it's the Lord. What he's going to ask for is not something we can manufacture. It's not something we can fabricate. We can't fake it. We can't do it. the Lord must cause this to happen. And what is it that he wants the Lord to do? The Lord make you increase and abound. Increase and increase. Abound and abound. We could say it that way. The first word, the idea is a surplus. I mean, he wants the Lord to give them a surplus over, above and beyond what they need. Above and beyond. A surplus. Extra. Increase. And abound. Now this word's fun. So the first word, it's talking about abounding and increasing in godly characteristics, if you were to study it. The second word refers to excellence. So sometimes when we say increase or abound, we're talking about getting better. Not more, but just mature. It's like that process something has to go through to become better and better and better and better and more mature and more mature. This is the idea. This is the idea of abounding in the second verb. So may the Lord do these things. May give you a surplus and make you excel. Excel in what? Excel in love. May you have a surplus of love. May the Lord, who is the source of love, amen? I mean, who knows love like Jesus Christ? Who knows how to love like Jesus? Who knows how to look down at Rex's life when he was 19 years old, angry, frustrated, living a life of debauchery and wickedness, living for himself, completely self-absorbed. I mean, y'all, my goals were make a lot of money, never get married, have a lot of fun. And the Lord, in mercy and grace and love, said, "You're mine. You're mine. Forever." So don't forget that the Lord is the subject of this increasing and abounding. But the object is you. May the Lord cause you to increase and excel in love. Now, this love has a direction. And it's not inward. It's out. And we've heard a lot from different ministries here this morning all about, and I hope you heard that all these people are doing what they're doing because the direction of their love is going out to people. Out to teens, out to kids, out to mothers, out to campers, out to temple tots and radio listeners. It's going out. And Paul wanted that for the Thessalonians, that they would have this surplus of excellent love going out and to two groups. The first group is the church. Oh, brothers and sisters, how we need each other's love. Amen. How desperately we need each other's love. How desperately we need to experience the love of Christ through each other. And the second group is for all. Well, who's that? That's everybody. Now, how do I know that? Because Paul gives the example right here. He humbly expected Christ to enhance the missional love of the Thessalonians because he himself had experienced this in their midst. He says, as we do for you. If you go back to chapter 2, here's what we see. In the first section of chapter 2, we find that Paul himself and his company had a comprehensive love for these people. He came among them, not knowing them, in verses 1 through 8. And we see that he didn't use deceitful words. He didn't use flattery. He wasn't greedy among them. He wasn't trying to in a fake way win their approval. He was genuine, and when he could have made demands, he didn't, even though he was an apostle. Verse 7, but we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. Their love was a comprehensive love. You know who has comprehensive loves? Moms. Right? Because why? Because moms get you up in the morning, moms feed you,
Moms go to the grocery store for you. Moms do laundry. Moms give you money to do things. Moms help you with your schoolwork or educate you. Moms put you in bed. Moms think of the details, man, don't they? He says, our love among you, it was a comprehensive kind of love. But it wasn't just that. It was also, like in verse 9 and following, for you remember, brothers, our labor and toil. We work night and day that we might be a burden, not be a burden to any of you while we proclaim to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and God also, how holy and righteous and blameless, see, there's that word, holy and blameless, was our conduct toward you believers. For you know how, like a father with his children, we exhorted each one of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. They were also, they had this love like a father. It wasn't just a comprehensive love, it was a fatherly love. It was the love that calls you to honorable things, calls you to walk worthy, calls you to blameless living, calls you to integrity, to honesty, to truth. You see, and the mechanism of their teaching is the gospel. We die to sin, we live unto God, just as Jesus has taught us. And so we have this comprehensive love, this fatherly love, and then there's an assuring love. He says, you receive the word as it really was, the word of God. It wasn't the word of men, it was the word of God. And this is the word that you have received. You received the right word, and you believed it. And then finally, this love, it was a boasting love. He says in verses 17 through 19, or through 20, for what is our hope or joy or crown, verse 19, or of boasting before our Lord Jesus at his coming? What are we going to boast about when the Lord Jesus comes? It's not going to be ourselves, but it will be the church. Paul says, you will be my boast. He says this a number of times. He says it to the Philippians. He says it about the Romans when he says that I want to offer to God the acceptable, holy sacrifice of the Gentiles. People, listen, let me see your eyes. People are our boast before God. Who are you bringing to him? It was for all. He wants the Lord to make them have a surplus and excellent love for one another in the church and for all, just as he showed them in his own life. And then finally, in verse 13, Paul humbly expected Christ's enhanced missional love. It's a missional love. The Thessalonians, they weren't believers when Paul went there. And then he went there. And they trusted in Christ, and they discipled him a little bit, and then he had to leave, and now he's writing. You see, it's a missional kind of love. But now, in verse 13, he's humbly expecting this love of Christ to establish the Thessalonians in a suitable blamelessness for his coming. He wants this love in which Christ causes them to abound to result in something. Verse 13, so that he may establish or make you strong, firm. My sister and Doug, you guys are firm. That weightlifting, that CrossFit stuff, firm. I think of you guys. I think of firm, strong. To make you establish, so that he may establish your hearts blameless, faultless, in holiness, before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. So the thing that this excellent love is to establish, Jesus' aim for this excellent love to establish, is your heart. The heart is the center of your inner life. It's where you decide, it's where you think, it's where you feel, it's where you wish. If that mechanism within you is influenced by this love, an excellent love. Your moral capacity is mature. And it will establish you blameless in Christ. Now don't misunderstand. This is all the work of Christ. And we are the object of this work. We are the pastor always says the Christian life is a received life. I love that. It is. It's a received life. Blameless in holiness. There's that word. This thing that God is. I mean, we're not holy. God is holy. And then he calls us in him to be holy. God is memorable. There's no one like him. No one's like his name. No one's like his activity. No one's like his presence. He's majestic and he's missional. This is his holiness. We can have blameless holiness because of this excellent love that Christ causes in us. And brothers and sisters, this is what I want. This is what I want. When Jesus comes before my God at his coming, I want this excellent love in me causing a blameless holiness. So I think the purpose of the text is to, and I think this was true for them, I think it's true for us, is to excel in missional love. I mean, he wants you to excel in this love. Because it will then prepare you as blameless at the coming of Christ. Now here's the tension. We live in a culture that disconnects love from holiness. Right? I mean, sometimes we separate these out. Some of us want the love. Like we want all the mercy, all the compassion, all the tolerance, we want all the lovey-dovey. And then some of us want all the holiness. The holy, the righteous, the blameless, the sinless, the pure. We want that. But what the text tells us is, guess what? You can't have one without the other. This love that Christ causes in you excels into holiness. It does. That's what it does. That's how it works. Brothers and sisters, we are people of Appalachia, Ohio, West Virginia, and Kentucky, North Central Appalachia. At Tri-State, we've designed something we call the Appalachian Ministry Institute with all sorts of things where we're trying to... Appalachia is our mission field. We want our people to go wherever God calls them, but we are burdened for Appalachia. Let me tell you why. A West Virginia social survey last year states that 78.8% of West Virginians identify as Christian. 78.8%. 27% attend a religious service weekly. Not just Christian. Only 27% attend a religious service weekly. 80% say they're Christian. 27% say they attend a weekly service. 7.2% attend 1 to 3 times per month. Bump it up a little bit. So 34% attend a religious service at least once a month. Now, there's a big gap there. Because what does that mean? Well, what we're saying we are and what we actually are, they don't match. You know, in Appalachia, well, we say stuff like, well, I'm not Muslim, so I'm a Christian. Right? I mean, I'm not. I mean, of course I'm a Christian. My grandma was. Right? But we have this big gap here. I was at the gas station the other day and at Speedway. And, you know, when you're in line at Speedway, you just look around, right? You just look around. You start to look at stuff. You price the donut cakes and you look at what new drink is out and whatever. And you do this. And I was looking way up the line and I saw a lady. And this lady could have been me. This lady could have been many people I know. I could have substituted in for this lady. So please don't hear me saying anything negative about this lady. Only observing that our region needs Jesus. She bought a slew of lottery tickets, had a case of Miller Lite, two Mountain Dews, and I was just waiting for the cigarettes to be bought. And brothers and sisters, I was there. And all of us can think of somebody, like, that's their loop. That's their hope is to win a lottery. Their day is drinking a case of Miller Lite. Their drink of choice at dinner's Mountain Dew, which is killing them. And let me smoke that cancer stick. And that's it. There's a lot more, guys. Jesus is coming. He wants our people in this region to be with Him. And we are the church. It's our mission to excel in love toward a holiness with which Jesus will be pleased. For all. It says, excel in this love toward one another and for all. Paul Pettit's the career services director at Dallas Theological Seminary. I talked with him the other day. He said, we're in a bit of a pastoral shortage here. As it seems, the baby boomers are retiring and not as many young men are going into the pastorate to replace them, praying for God to raise up workers for the harvest. Young people, go into ministry. You're waiting for a call. This is it. Please, go into ministry. People will discourage you. Let the Lord fill your imagination with all the great things He can do. He is memorable, majestic, and missional. Just do it. Go. See, the tension is that we keep love over here and holiness over here. And the truth is that excellent missional love establishes the inner life and holiness suitable for God's presence. So, let me leave you with three ways to do this. I want you to excel in this love for Christ's coming. Okay? Real simple. Excel. Be excellent in this love for Christ's coming. Three ways. Number one, exalt Christ as the source. Don't miss that part of your life, part of your habit, needs to be exalting Jesus. Right? He's the source. I mean, we don't have this love without Him. We don't have this holiness without Him. We don't have this anticipation and eagerness of His coming without Him. We don't have a mission without Him. So exalt Christ. Excellent love comes from Him. Number two, enhance the hearts of the church to establish them in excellent love. How do you do this? Well, first explore. Who's God directing you to? Paul's like, I want to be directed back to you. Who's He directing you to? Somebody. Who's He calling you to visit? To minister to? Entreat the Lord. Not just explore who to whom is He directing you, but entreat Him. Pray. That's what this is literally a prayer. Three verses of praying. Paul does this all the time. Right in the middle of his letter, he'll pray. Pray. Prayer's like a barometer on your life. I mean, what's your spiritual life like? Well, what's your prayer life like? Are you praying? Because prayer is dependence. It's the recognition of no power, of weakness. So entreat the Lord. Explore to whom is He directing you. Entreat, Lord, I'm praying to you. Emphasize the heart. This is the place where moral decisions are made, where relationships function and the source out of which our relationships are thought about and willed and felt. And then evangelize and edify. This is how you enhance the hearts of the church in excellent love. Share the gospel. Talk to the lady at Speedway. Talk to Billy, whom I met out at Fat Patty's in Ashland. Talk to them. Share the gospel and edify the church. Strengthen the church. Remember, he said, increase and abound in love for one another and for all. So we exalt Christ, we enhance the church with this excellent love in these ways, and then finally, enter. At the end of your life, brothers and sisters, enter Christ's presence. Excellent love readies us for Christ's coming. I don't know about you, but I want to excel in this missional love that Christ, that I receive from Christ, from His Spirit, to be holy in His presence when He comes. That's all I care about. Matter of fact, I don't really care about anything else. Right? Because if I care about, if that's central, everything else will figure itself out. I've been reading about the Lewis and Clark expedition. I'm very excited about it. Lewis and Clark thought that they, like everyone else in the world at the time, thought that they were going to find a water passage from about the middle of America all the way to the Pacific. Everyone thought there had to be a way. And you know what they found? The Rocky Mountains. I mean, couldn't be more wrong. Miles and miles of Rocky Mountains. And so, can you just imagine Lewis and Clark getting up to like the crest of a hill and looking out with their, like, as they're porting a canoe? A canoe's not going to work here. Right? It's not going to work. My sister's got the giggles because we just have this thing. Right? You can't canoe the mountains. You can't. I mean, that's going to be rough. So when you're a river explorer and you come across the Rocky Mountains, you know what you have to do? Become a mountain pioneer. And I wonder if for our ministries as we close, that we need to ask, how do I need to adapt in my missional love as I wait for Christ's coming? What do I need to change? What are the things I need to change? What's my canoe I got to let go, and what do I got to pick up to excel, to have an excellent love? Let me pray. Our Father, thank You for this time. What a joy to be together with so many churches. Oh, my word, my heart's full. Thank You. Thank You, thank You, thank You. Thank You for Pastor and all the pastors in the room and the church leaders, the ministry leaders, and just the brothers and sisters. It's so good to be together as Your family. It's so good to know Your love. It's so good to know Your Son. Lord, make, please, just with Paul we pray, make this love excel in us. Make it excel in us that it might produce this holiness that will be pleasing to You at the coming of Your Son. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, I think it's fitting that we end this portion of our meeting together with a song to God's glory. And you know the song, "To God Be the Glory," number 66. So find a hymnal, open it to 66. If you've got it memorized, leave the hymnal down and keep your head up. And we'll sing this together to the glory of God. Thank you.
I'm
thing we didn't do, which we want to do now, is introduce who's here. We have, we're going to pray here in just a minute, but who's here? We have Temple Baptist, or of the churches in the ORBC in our county, Temple Baptist in Portsmouth. If you're with Temple, just raise your hand so we know who you are. Good group from Temple. We have Grace Church at Bigelow in Portsmouth. And they are actually the newest church in the ORBC, be voted on officially here at the meeting in October. We've also, of course, Wheelersburg Baptist. Raise your hands if you're from Wheelersburg Baptist. We have several. We have Grace Baptist in Minford. Anybody here from Grace at Minford? I know that Pastor McKinney's on a sabbatical, and we weren't sure if they would be able to come. And then in Eden Park, we have Shawnee Hills. I don't think anyone's here from there because they actually have their Sunday school in the evening, I believe. Pastor Estep told me probably wouldn't work for them to come. So that's who's here. Now, who's not here, they're not a part of the OARBC, but I want us to have special prayer for right now, is our dear friends at Berean in Scioto-ville. Caroline Mann, Pastor Mann's wife, just went to be with the Lord after this battle with cancer. Her funeral will be this coming Saturday. And it's a great loss for Steve's a dear friend, brother, and our rejoicing. We just heard this is our longing to see the Lord Jesus. She's rejoicing, but there's a grieving family and a grieving church family just a few miles from here that we want to pray for tonight. And any other instructions that you have, Pastor Matt's going to lead us in prayer. Feel free to give those as we prepare to go. But let's finish our time in prayer.
Yeah, thank you, Rex, for bringing us the word, reminding us of our mission and the reason for our mission there. Thank you for the ministry leaders for coming and sharing your ministry. We get so focused in on where the Lord has us that it's good to be reminded of what He is doing elsewhere, even in our own backyards. And so we're thankful for that. We continue to pray for you through those. And I want to make sure you all know that we do have a dessert fellowship to follow. Pastor Brad says this is like a reunion. And what's a family reunion without some food? And so we do have that. So if you want to go ahead and make your way down there after I pray, and you can grab some desserts and spend some time fellowshipping with one another. Those ministry leaders who have booths will be at their booths, so you can stop in and talk to them, get more information as well. So with that, let me go ahead and close us in prayer, and then we'll be dismissed to our other activities. Gracious Father, what an amazing privilege it is to be a part of the family of God. Lord, that you don't save us and rescue us from our own sinful desires and are walking our own path to be a lone ranger here in this world. But rather, you place us within a body of Christ and you allow us to be a part of a family that does life together, that edifies one another, that continues to grow and walk in step on mission to see your name be magnified. Lord, we thank you for an association of churches that you have placed us strategically in places, given us interest and given us our own little niche of ministry to continue to reach the lost world around us and worldwide, Lord. Lord, we thank you for these times that we can come together as the body of Christ and to just fellowship with one another, enjoy one another's company, and be encouraged about the work that you are doing through the broken vessels that we are. Lord, we thank you for the work that you continue to do and that you will make your name great in this area. And Lord, I pray that we would remain faithful in doing that, that we would evangelize the lost and edify the saints, Lord. You have given us that mission, and I pray that we would live on mission for that. Lord, tonight we want to pray for Berean, in particular Pastor Mann, and the loss of his wife. And Lord, we pray that you would just wrap your arms of grace around Pastor Steve, and just allow him to experience your love in a way that he has never experienced before. I pray that the body of Christ would rally around him, that we would help walk with him through this time. And Lord, that you would just reveal yourself in a mighty way. I pray that people would come to know you as they display a hope that is not from this world, even in the midst of this difficult situation. Give them opportunity to give the reason for the hope that they have. Lord, we thank you again for this time of fellowship that we have. We pray that we would all be edified and encouraged through it. But Lord, most importantly, we pray that you would be honored and glorified through the conversations and actions of the rest of this evening. Thank you again for your many blessings. Thank you for the way that you continue to love us for the work that your Son has done in our life and the way that you continue to allow us to be a part of this kingdom. And Lord, I pray that you would be honored and glorified through that. In your name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You are dismissed. It's a joy to have you here this evening.